This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, we welcome you in. I already heard a sigh from my guy, Michael Lombardi, because he is fired up. I was listening. I was kind of peeking in on the podcast a little earlier today. Don't forget, GM Shuffle drops today and Thursday. As we welcome you in, I'm Patrick Maher. He's Michael Lombardi. This is the Lombardi Line on a Monday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and you were yelling. So here's my question. Where do we start? Do we start with Belichick schooling Stefanski? Do we start with the New York teams being a combined 9-3? Do we start with Tom Brady emasculating his offensive line, which was a joke? Or do we start with your boy up in the Northwest, Kyler Murray? Did you see, this is so random, but did you see when Rondale Moore was coming back around and Kyler Murray stood there, didn't even pretend to want to block for him? That's a mess in the desert. I threw you a couple of options. Now you run with it. What do you got for me, my man?
Well, I mean, since I'm always in a very positive mood and I'm very, upbeat guy, glass is always half full, I'm going to start on the positive side. Let's start with the Jets and the Giants about how they've been able to turn this around, specifically the Giants. Let's start there. You know, when you look at that box score and you go through that game tape and you watch it, you say to yourself, how did they win? And it's a great lesson. And for all of us to learn that when you don't beat yourself in football, you have a really good chance of winning games. And this game here, Baltimore and New York, Baltimore has another 10-point lead in the fourth quarter, 12 minutes to go, is a lesson in New York being resilient. Give them credit. Timely. I think underscore the word timely. They drive the ball down 72 yards to get that touchdown to make it 20-17. And the team that felt the pressure the most wasn't the Giants, were the Ravens, and they melted on a bad snap and an interception, and they give the game away. Now, you talk about winning is a habit. Giving games away has become a habit in Baltimore. And so credit the New York football Giants for hanging. Credit the New York Jets for winning another game. Now, I think this was, to go a little negative here, this was the finest hour of the LaFleur brothers, one coaching for the Jets, one coaching for the Packers. They both had remarkable. That the two brothers had 278 yards exactly the same, right? Remarkable. How could that happen? The other factor that was remarkable is both teams combined for 5-for-27 on third down. 5-for-27. The New York football Jets won this game being 1-of-11 on third down, but they were timely. Once again, in the fourth quarter, they scored 10 points and put the game away.
Some house cleaning. The Bucs were big favorites. They lost at Pittsburgh. The Green Bay Packers were big favorites. As Michael just mentioned, they lost at home. Baltimore, 5.5-point favorites. They lose at the Meadowlands. San Francisco, 3.5-point favorites. They lose at Atlanta. Of course, the Browns lost at home. We'll get to Belichick. Arizona loses on the road as a favorite. Favorites 6-6 straight up in ATS yesterday. The Dogs, 8-4. Excuse me, the Unders, 8-4. So almost 60% on the season. Michael, you mentioned the Giants, so let's go back. 24-20 winner. They forced two turnovers in the final 3 minutes, 14 unanswered in the final quarter. That's really the difference, was the turnovers. This is coaching. You have to put this on Daboll.
You got to put it. Look, I think it's really about Daboll coaching the team, coaching them how to win.
Martindale.
Mike Kafka calling the game really well, calling the game, not extending, no matter what happens in the game, not going to let it get away. Martindale, the Ravens get 420 yards of offense and don't win the game. Now, the Ravens have nobody else to blame but themselves. 10 penalties for 74 yards. 10 penalties in the game, two turnovers, a missed field goal that nobody counts in the turnover column but you and I, right? No explosive plays. The Giants had no explosive plays in the game. And yet all they do, they're like Yertle the Turtle. They just keep moving along. Oh, you want to mess it up? Go ahead. You mess it up. We'll be right here to win the game. And they've done it. Credit to them. Could they go and lose to Jacksonville next week? Without a doubt. Could they lose to somebody else? Yeah. No doubt. Their margin for error is slim. But here's what I would say. They find a way to win the game in the fourth quarter, and they have not melted to the pressure of the moment, whereas Baltimore has.
There was, what, the strip from Kayvon Thibodeau late of Lamar Jackson? And you just, I think you put it perfectly. There's something weird around the Ravens right now, whether it's vibes, you want to put it that way. But the opposite is true for the Giants, and it's a new head coach. Here's Brian Daboll talking after the game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really worried. You know that. I'm not worried about numbers. His job is to compete, to lead his football team down, particularly the offense, make good decisions with the football, take care of it, execute in the red zone. And I know this was another fourth quarter one for him. Again, it's when you're a quarterback, you love to throw it, you know, 60 times a game. But we have to, you know, each week we have to play the way we think we have to play. And look, it was far from perfect. It really was. That's a hell of a football team over there. But I appreciate the way he competes. And I think his level-headedness really helps him.
19 of 27, 173, two touchdowns, no pick. Jones, your reaction to Daboll there, Michael Lombardi.
Well, I mean, look, they did a really good job. They had 50 rushes and completions. 50 rushes and completions, only 8 incompletions in the game. Only 8. And like Brian said there, let him back again. Timely. One of the things that I've always felt with Daniel Jones is get him in a lot of third downs. The Ravens had him in 14 third downs yesterday, and he converted 7 of them, especially on that last drive. I mean, you know, they won the game in the fourth quarter. They had 8 first downs in the fourth quarter, forced a turnover, and scored 14 points. When the pressure was the most, they responded. And I think Baltimore, you know, Stephen Baum was talking about before the show about Buffalo and how they built the team around Josh Allen. I think one of the things that Baltimore hasn't done, even though they've gotten A-pluses on every single draft going back for the last 30 years, that they have really struggled, to me, of identifying what makes Lamar more successful. Like, they let Hayden Hurst go. They really haven't replaced him with another tight end. They don't have a nickel back that really could be dynamic. And they don't have a slot receiver that could be dynamic. They're always focusing on the outside part of the field when Lamar is an inside part of the field passer. And they haven't done that. And I think when they get into these big games and these pressure moments, they can't execute when they need to execute.
How dare you bring up the Ravens draft track record?
By the way, I mean, A the pluses Ravens every like, year.
A pluses. The Ravens looked like the better team all afternoon. That's the problem. Giants didn't have 100 yards until the third quarter. I mean, this is an issue with the Ravens right now.
I mean, they averaged 7 yards a play. The Giants averaged 3.8. I mean, you know, the game was 20-10 with 12 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. It should have been 27. The part of the problem was the Ravens were bad in the red zone. They're 1-for-3 in the red zone, 0-for-1 on goal to go. You know, that's part of the issue there. They get down there and they couldn't put the game away. And when they got the ball back when it was 20-17 and the pressure's on them a little bit, they melted. They melted. And say whatever you know, look, do I think the Giants are a 5-1 team? It's what their record says they are. And one more thing we learn about football. You can gain all the yards you want. You can have all the production you want in terms of average per play, all that. At the end of the day, points matter. I know they don't matter to Cliff Kingsbury, but points matter.
You dog. We'll get to him. I think it was more important what sunglasses he wore at Seattle than whether or not he's a terrible football coach.
Don't put it all on him. That quarterback has stolen money from that franchise. That quarterback is not playing good. He's not playing good. I don't care what the worldwide leader is going to come out with today on all their shows. I mean, as a betting network and a betting company that gives out advice, you know, and I was on Arizona yesterday because my logic was wrong, and I was an idiot for doing it, but I felt like of all the times he was going to get himself turned around, it would have been against Seattle. You know, loose plays, speed, make a play here, make a play there. And boy, was I wrong. They averaged 4.4 yards per play. He made 0 plays.
You watched that game because it was one of those, you know, 3 in the late window. I was watching the whole entire thing. He never stepped up and made a play. However,
He looks completely disinterested.
I told you, Rondale Moore was coming back around on a play at a huge point in the game, and he stood there like a statue. Like, he just didn't care.
And fumbled
Murray's
the ball.
A weird cat.
Yeah. You're building, and you gave him money. I mean, that entourage crew out in Arizona is the best. It's the best. I mean, only in the NFL can they do that. I mean, it's entourage.
Steve Keim must have Bidwell pictures. Okay, so conversely, Baltimore, the better team, they lose a football game. How about the Jets? The Jets never trailed in the game. Quinnen Williams is dumb good. And Breece Hall had 116 yards on the ground, the rookie, one touchdown. So a 27-10 winner as an eight-point dog. The Jets beat the Packers.
Jets had 12 drives in the game, Patrick. Nine of those drives, they had one or less first downs. One or less. They had six plays and a 13-play drive. They were timely. Once again, they were timely. They had a field goal blocked, but they were able to get four sacks. You know, they were able to block a punt. You know, the special teams for the Packers, I don't know if you've noticed this, it's not
terrible.
Who coaches them, it's who emphasizes it. Poor Rich Bisacci, they thought he was going to be a – well, you can't be a great special teams coach if the head coach isn't going to let you do it. And you talk about it, I thought, like I said this on the podcast, I felt like Aaron Rodgers looked like Glenn Frey when it was over with for the Eagles. Like, I don't want anything to do with these guys anymore. Like, I'm done with this stuff. Like, it looked to me, he looked like he had it. I'm done.
Can you get edibles in Green Bay? Is Wisconsin, is it legal? I don't know. I'm sure Aaron can probably find some. The only thing worse
Green
than the
Bay
Packers
had...
offense was their special teams.
Oh, how about they had 13 drives in the game, 10 drives with one play or less.
Bad news. Breaking news, weed is not legal in Wisconsin. This is going to be a long year for Aaron Rodgers with the whole hippie turn. Okay, that's New York. We have to head to Tampa Bay and talk about the Bucks. Big upset up in Pittsburgh. We continue.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Lombardi Line brought to you by BetMGM and BetMGM, of course, .com, or download the app. I love the app. And again, BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. If you're in town in Vegas, bring a state-issued ID to an MGM property. They're all over, and you're ready to bet within minutes. You got to be 21 years or older. And if you have a gambling issue, it's 1-800-GAMBLER. Okay, back here at Lombardi Line, of course, we close out week six tonight. Chargers open six, touch 6.5. 69% of the bets on the Chargers, yet the number with Denver in town has come down to 4.5. Don't respond. I'll get your response over the next hour and 45 minutes. We got plenty of time, Michael Lombardi. You and Chris Felica, who, by the way, shout to the Bear, who's doing a great job with the Invitational. If you want the pros' picks, you go to VSiN.com/subscribe and become a VSiN pro. You were just talking about Arizona. I want to ask you a question about the Cardinals. Before we do, let's put a bow on the Jets. I got your guy, Salah. How do you say his last name? I love when you say Robert Salah's last name.
Salah.
How do you say it?
I call Salah. Him Salah.
Yeah, well, ever
Salah
since he
or
said,
is it Salah?
I like your pronunciation better. I walk around to my dog, and when a friend may be over, I use your pronunciations of names, and it just everybody loves it. Anywho, let's hear from Salah, who said, I'm collecting receipts, and ever since he said it, his team hasn't lost. Let's go ahead and run it, Bond.
Every game, for me, every game is such a big deal when you win. What I love about our team is that we do have a good team, and we do have good players, and we do have a good mindset. And when you are as young as we are, it's awesome to get confidence. But at the same time, that confidence can be gone next week. And we got to keep the main thing. I think our process and the way our guys have showed up day in and day out to prepare for games has been outstanding. And we just got to keep the main thing. And wins are great. And if you love winning, then you show up tomorrow and you continue the process and you keep grinding the way we have been, and we'll appreciate the results that we continue getting.
8-point dogs, they won by 17 at Lambeau, where Green Bay had won 15 straight in the regular season, Michael.
And really did nothing offensively. I mean, they did nothing offensively. They ran the ball a little bit, but, I mean, Zach Wilson had 10 completions in the game. He's 10 for 18 in the game. You know, he sacked twice. You know, had one big play down the field. They blew a coverage. Corey Davis goes down there, and then they run the reverse to Burt. Timely with their execution, no doubt. But they won this game because I think the Packers' offense is broken, and they did a lot to make the Packer offense break. Like, this defensive front really got after the
Very
Packers'
good.
Offensive line. Quinnen Williams was good. Rodgers had nowhere to go with the football. You know, at some point, I don't know when LaFleur is going to figure out, maybe I should get in two backs, maybe I should – try to move around, get in some tight ends. keeps leaving the formation open. Like I said, I think Rodgers is almost like, are you kidding me? I mean, as he said after the game, we've got to lower our expectations. They're not good. Their execution in the game, I mean, Rodgers had, he had 15 incomplete passes that he threw in the game, but I would say five. There were at least five drops in the game, at least five drops. And their execution is not good. He goes for it on fourth and one. You know, they fumble it and almost gets the field goal. They lose, almost gives away 3 points there. And then, of course, they get a punt blocked. I mean, everything that the Giants do to win games, the Packers have done to lose games. And the Jets just hung around. I mean, sometimes not giving a game away allows you to be in position to win it. And they were, and they did. I mean, how do you win a game when you're 1 for 11 on third down? I don't know. How do you win a game when you're 0 for 2 in the red zone? I don't know. How do you win a game when you're 0 for 1 on goal to go? I don't know. But they did.
I love that game.
They made two plays. They had four explosive plays in the game. And, you know, and they were able to do them in a timely fashion. I mean, look, they had like I said, they had 22 plays in the fourth quarter. They had eight first downs, and they got 10 points. That's why they've done that now. This is 3 weeks in a row they've done it. Give them credit. The Giants and the Jets have been playing well in the fourth quarter.
Yep. I love that game where you ask yourself the question and you answer it. That's my favorite. Michael Lombardi, the Cardinals and the Seahawks. Remember, that was the second highest total on the board going into the game. It was 50.5. The final score was 19-9. The Cardinals were going to Seattle to fix some things offensively. Again, they were going up against Seattle, who was giving up the most yards per game, second most points per game. And the Cardinals offense, legitimately maybe the worst performance of the year. They scored 9 points. They couldn't get it done on third or fourth down.
They did not score 9 points. The Seattle punt team dropped a punt and they picked it up and ran it in for six. I mean, they couldn't even make the 2-point play on that. I mean, the first drive of the game, they go all the way down the field. They got first and goal at the 2. They can't get it in. He runs out of bounds at the 5. You know, I mean, no big deal. And then, of course, on third down, he gets the ball tipped. And then, so the next drive, they start to go down the field. Okay. But, no, you know, we don't need 3 points. Who cares about 3 points? You know, we'll go for it on fourth and four. He throws one in the dirt over there, and Rondale Moore can't make the catch. The guy averaged 4-4 a play. They were 1-for-5 on third down. They passed up three field goals, a 20-yarder, a 27, and a 23. That's where the ball was spotted on all those three times. He passed up 9 points in the game. And he's watching the same game I'm watching. Nobody's scoring any points. And yet he keeps passing up three like three's like going to do him no good.
I was going to say, three of those fourth down failures came inside Seattle's 25-yard line, I think. And
20, 27, and 23. That's where Seattle got the ball. The end of the half, forget the middle eight. It's another disaster, right? You know, another disaster. Doesn't run the clock. Seattle gets a cheap field goal at the end of the half. I mean, you know, like, you just give – here's what I don't understand. You give points away, but you're not willing to take points when they're giving them to you.
So I want to get to the Seattle Seahawks because at 3-3, quite a surprise. The Cardinals moving forward, they're 2-4, and I'll set up the number for next week. But DeAndre Hopkins returns. You saw on the broadcast, I know the volume wasn't up at Casa de Lombardi, but you saw that he plays better with DeAndre Hopkins. What would you do to fix this team offensively? Give me the answer for the Cardinals.
I mean, they didn't have Hudson in there. They lost Pugh to an injury. It's a short week. They don't block anybody, and he doesn't move, and people rush him the same way. Like, at some point, you know, they didn't have James Conner as their running back. You know, Seattle got 6 sacks in the game. Did you ever think Seattle could get 6 sacks in any game?
Negative.
They had 10 tackle for losses in the game. Now, I'm talking about Seattle's defense. I'm not talking about the Cowboys. They had 6 sacks and 10 tackles for losses in the game. That doesn't tell you that we had a breakdown here or there. That tells you there's fundamentally something wrong with our protections and our players. I don't know how to fix it. I really don't. I would fix it because I don't know why you would sign a quarterback who had 2 more years on a contract that you had every right to adhere to, and you turn around and give him $250. It's like I'm going to reward him because he won a Super Bowl. I don't want to make him upset. I don't want to make him upset.
But here, this is, I know, seriously, just stop, Michael. But here's what I will say to you. It does seem like there's some petulance. Like he can run. There were opportunities for Murray to make plays yesterday, and it's almost like he was proving a point. Do you see what I'm saying? He's very complex. It's like there are opportunities to do something, and I know I keep harping on this. You know, Carson Wentz is out with a broken finger. They highlighted on that terrible Thursday night game Carson Wentz throwing blocks for his running backs, correct?
Yeah.
At least he was trying. At least
no
he
doubt.
Was in the game, and now he's out. Kyler Murray's the opposite of that.
But he's now. But this isn't like a news flash. He's always been like this. Like he's
been.
Why'd
they pay him?
I don't know. The entourage, I don't know. I can't figure it out either. You had 2 years where you had another year of a contract, plus you had the fifth year, and you would have had it. You probably could have had 3 years. I mean, he's only in his – this is his, going to be his fourth – this is his fourth season. You paid him 2 years early. It may be one of the dumbest decisions you could possibly make. I mean, I get it if you saw that he was Josh Allen or he's Patrick Mahomes, but he just lost you playoff games because he couldn't – he threw the ball for 129 yards against the Rams.
He got the Todd Gurley bag. Remember when the Rams paid the running back 2 years, an injured running back 2 years early on the rookie deal, Kyler Murray. Hey, by the way, so Arizona, Felik is going to be there. We know today's Monday. They play Thursday. They get Hopkins back. New Orleans is in town. What do you think the number is?
I would say under a field goal, Arizona favored.
Yeah, you're correct. They open 2. It's been bet down to 1.5. Arizona's laying 1.5 on Thursday night to open up Week 7 with the Saints in town.
Lost in all this is Arizona's actually played pretty good on defense the last couple weeks. I mean, they really have.
That's because Kingsbury doesn't coach that side of the doesn't coach that side of the ball. Sorry, I had to.
And Murray's not over there. I mean, look, it's just comical how you just give games away, you know, with almost contempt. That like three's not going to – it's the second quarter. You know, we'll talk about New England-Cleveland, but, you know, New England's first drive of the game, they had first and goal from the 2. They couldn't get it in. What did he do? He took the 3 points. But, I mean, why would you follow what he does? Because he's only tied George Halas for the most wins. Why would you copy him? It's ridiculous. I mean, he doesn't – he can't draft either. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Seahawks defense sacked Murray 6 times, forced two turnovers, and didn't surrender an offensive touchdown. Your boy Pete Carroll getting it done. This was the
Going
expectations were at an all-time low.
Yep.
How'd
Absolutely.
The books do? Thomas Gable has the answer next.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, remember earlier I mentioned that Circa Invitational with all the pros, you can get their picks when you're a VSiN pro. And we still have most of the season to go, and we've already dropped the price. So an opportunity for you to get everything we offer as a VSiN pro, pro tools, pro picks, pro tips for $99 through the Super Bowl. So it's a great opportunity. As a matter of fact, the Pro Prop Analyzer has a couple of picks so from props tonight. On Monday Night Football, you have to be a VSiN Pro. It's $99. VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, we got you back here, Lombardi Line, on a Monday. Of course, you have Denver at the Chargers. 4.5 is the number as we welcome in Thomas Gable, who runs the race and sports book there at the Borgata. We say good afternoon to Thomas, and thank you. Let's start with Buffalo, Kansas City. A 24-20, a great drive for Allen at the end to win and to cover the 2.5. Let's talk about at the Borgata how money came in late on this Buffalo, Kansas City. How'd you end up settling here?
Yeah, so we closed that game 2.5 and total closed at 54.5. So the game ended up being not much of a decision for us. It was pretty evenly bet. Probably would have been a little bit better of an outcome had the Chiefs won outright. But not much of a decision on that one, considering that, you know, it was the marquee game of the day. It was pretty evenly bet here. And, you know, the later slate, the only game that we really had much of a decision on was the Cardinals and the Seahawks. And, you know, people were betting the Cardinals, so that ended up going our way. But after the 1 o'clock games, I mean, there wasn't much left to be had for the betting public. I mean, the 1 o'clock games, I think, pretty much wiped everyone out with the big favorites losing outright. And let me just say this: when you have contests like Circus Survivor or any Survivor contest, and you have half the field being knocked out, well, what does that equate to in the betting world? That equates to teasers not coming in. So, I think mm-hmm. we held some ridiculous teaser margin, at the 1 o'clock slate. I mean, almost 90% of teasers we held. And it's funny because a lot of the betting public kind of bet teasers one way, and that's tease the favorites down. They never tease the dogs up. And when you're teasing the favorites down, a day like yesterday is going to pretty much spell disaster for you.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. I mean, when you're watching those 1 o'clock games, how they just kind of, it was like shocking. I was wondering what game in the 4 o'clock window would have been, okay, I'm going to get even with this game and go back. And everybody picked Arizona, and that obviously was the wrong pick. But we know the Philly game. You were at 6.5 when I left the book on Saturday morning, and that had 8 hours before it was going to kick off. What did you end up closing that game at, Thomas?
I closed 6.5, total closed 42.5, and that ended up being, in terms of the amount of wagers written on that was the most wagered upon game of the NFL season for us here at Borgata so far was the Eagles and Cowboys. Big crowd here to watch that game last night. Everyone was fired up about it, so it started out well. We had a decision on the first half total, which I think the first half total was 20.5, I believe. People were betting the under on that. It went over, so we got off to a nice start there at halftime. And for the game, when you add in the in-play and everything else, we ended up not doing too bad on the game, even though the Eagles covered. So in play, it certainly worked out for us as well there. But again, now that Dak is back for the Cowboys, we'll see where they kind of go from here. The Cooper Rush version of, if Dak comes back, is there going to be a quarterback controversy? I think that was all answered last night for the Cowboys. There's not going to be any controversy once Dak is ready. It looks like he will be ready for next week for them. But Eagles remain undefeated, and the city of Philadelphia remains in celebration mode.
Yes. Stephen Bond, our pro tip, Thomas Gable with the pro tip, which is perfect. Recreational bettors tease down. Professional bettors tease up. Here's the example. Green Bay closed 8. Recreational bettors will lay 2. We'll do the standard tease, Michael Lombardi, 6. So again, Green Bay recreational bettors will bring that down to 2 with Green Bay laying it. Professional bettors will take it up to 14 with the Jets catching it. That's the pro tip, hour 1. You mentioned, it's so funny, like the Bucks, Survivor, I'm guessing a bunch of people lost. But where were the bets on Pittsburgh hosting Tampa with Tampa laying 9.5 there, Thomas?
It was all Tampa. It was all Tampa in that game. Nobody expected the Steelers to come out there and provide much resistance, and it certainly didn't turn out that way. The Jaguars-Colts game actually turned into a decent-sized decision for us. We needed the Colts. The Jaguars, that game closed 1.5, Colts laying 1.5. And then the Jets-Packers obviously was another big one there, knocking out the teaser liability with the Packers and the money line parlay liability there. And even the Ravens-Giants, with obviously we get a lot of Giants money with them winning, didn't hurt us a whole lot. From the early slate, I think really the only game that we kind of got dinged up on a little bit were the Vikings covering there against the Dolphins and the Bengals with the Saints, but very, very good early slate, and that just kind of set the tone for the rest of the day and cruised home.
And so now we look forward to tonight. So you got baseball, you got Monday night, you got the Phillies Tuesday and Wednesday. I mean, you're a busy guy over there, Thomas. It's gonna be it's gonna be booking like crazy, huh?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's good when if the Yankees can advance here and stay alive, obviously. They drive a lot of handle, being from New York. The Philly team, obviously, they have caught fire, so everybody's pumped about that. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a busy week here with the baseball playoffs, especially if the Yankees can close out the Guardians here in advance. Baseball is going to be off the charts here for the NLCS and the ALCS.
We do talk about reverse line movement. To make it very simple, when a book has the majority of the bets going one way, but the number goes the other way, that's when Michael or I say reverse line movement. Is that what we have tonight? The Chargers are laying 4.5, yet most of the bets are on them, and we saw this number touch 6.5.
Yeah, we never got to 6.5, I don't think. We opened the Chargers at 6, and then it's been brought down from there, and now sitting at 4.5. We actually got as low as 4, but certainly the Chargers are the team that's getting bet, and you know, this is going to come down to, can Russell Wilson turn this thing around for Denver? We know Hackett's under fire, but the Chargers haven't exactly lived up to expectations either for them. They were kind of one of these off-season darlings where everybody was betting their season win total over and picking them to win the division. And they've gotten off to a rocky start as well. Not as rocky as Denver, but we'll see if Russell Wilson can kind of turn this thing around here for Denver on the road.
Where do you think this closes? I see some fours still out there, Thomas. I see some fours at DraftKings here in New Jersey. The Westgate's at 4. Circa's still at 4.5. You're at 4.5. Where do you think it closes at 4?
Yeah, it certainly could close at 4. We'll see how it plays out. I mean, with the 4.5 right now that we have, we're comfortable there, especially with the amount of bets we're taking on the Chargers at the minute.
Okay, Thursday, Arizona. Where'd you open, and where are you sitting with New Orleans to kick off week seven?
Week seven, yeah. So right now the Cardinals are 1.5 favorite at home. Now remember, there's really no home field advantage there for the Cardinals at home, and this is a team that I think if you haven't done so already, you need to take a hard look at adjusting power ratings for, because this offense is kind of in shambles at the moment for them, and Kingsbury, I think, is more worried about what kind of sunglasses he's going to be wearing for the next game than he is about the game plan at this point. But there's trouble. There's definitely trouble there. When you can't muster against the worst defense in the league in Seattle, you can't muster a touchdown. There's major, major problems there. But I think when you come down to these two teams, they're pretty much – I kind of power rate them very similar at this point, but Cardinals right now, the 1.5 favorites at home.
Yeah, I
okay,
agree.
TG.
To me, that – thank you, TG.
Go ahead, Michael.
Well, I just said, if you can't move the ball on Seattle, I mean, you give up 6 sacks to Seattle, 8 tackle for losses. I mean, what are we doing?
It's gross. Thomas Gable, he stole my sunglasses shtick, too, with Kingsbury. Now I'm bitter. Thomas, okay. Good luck tonight. Appreciate you. It's going to be a busy week at the Borgata. There he goes, Thomas Gable. Okay, when we come back, Bill Belichick returned to Cleveland and delivered a master class. What better should know taking that win for New England and Cleveland? Coming up next with Michael Lombardi here on the Lombardi Line.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, football fans, you can turn a loss into a win at the King of Sportsbooks tonight. Just place a first touchdown score prop on any Monday or Thursday night pro football game. If your bet loses, you're going to receive up to $25 in free bets. It's a great offer over at BetMGM. You can wager confidently and take your game to the next level. Again, $25 back if you lose your single first touchdown score prop tonight or Thursday night. It's a great deal. 21 years or older, 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. This is the Lombardi Line, and this is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Hope you had a nice weekend. As we welcome you back, Chargers host the Broncos tonight. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Patrick Maher. So full disclosure, I'm on Roma. a short price on the road at Sampdoria in Serie A, which is the Italian Major League Football League. You and Stephen Bond just talked some weird language during the break. You said Stanley Tucci is in Sardinia. Would you like to clarify what the hell you mean by Stanley Tucci is in Sardinia, please?
Well, CNN has this thing that Stanley Tucci has done. He did it last year, and he did it a little bit, in the spring, where they did four episodes, and he goes to different regions in Italy, and he kind of experiences the food. He tells you about the history. Stephen Bond watched the one in Calabria, which was fabulous, and then last night he was in Sardinia, which I didn't watch because I was watching the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys play. So I'll get to that later at some point.
Gotcha. Makes sense. Can we get Len Mead? Here's my request for our fearless leader, Len Mead. Can me and Michael do a remote broadcast from Italy? How about a sports book in Italy? Where would we pick? If you could pick one city in Italy, where would we broadcast from?
Oh, that's such a great question, Patrick. I think it would be Lake Como. I think I would do Lake Como. Yeah,
I think we should do that.
I mean, it's beautiful. Yeah, I've never been, but it just looks so beautiful to me.
The Godfather was the greatest movie ever made. The Godfather of the NFL is Bill Belichick. We transition. The bettors were right here. Remember, Cleveland did get up to 3, but the bettor said, "Nah, we're not buying it." At Cleveland, New England ended up closing 2.5. It was a 38-15 win for, and I called it a masterclass because on one sideline you had a head coach, the greatest of all time in Bill Belichick. On the other sideline, he had Kevin Stefanski, who's simply a play caller pretending to be a head coach.
Yeah, I think that you put that well. I mean, look, Belichick came in there. His team is physical. Defensively, they're tough. They're physical. Second play of the game, they get a turnover out of Brissett. See, they move it down the field. They don't go for it on fourth down. They kick a field goal, go up 3-0. He never had a problem with that, you know. And then they just keep playing the game, and eventually they take control of the game. I think one of the things, like the Alabama-Tennessee game on Saturday, when you watch that game, neither team was ever in control. New England-Cleveland, this was a game that New England was always in control from start to finish. Brissett was struggling. They couldn't get their running game going. They tried to get a couple things in terms of their passing game. Brissett was inconsistent. Now, this is the sixth time he started, so he started to not look as good as he once did. Two interceptions, a fumble in the game. They dropped a special teams play. So I thought Bailey Zappe was outstanding, made all the throws. You know, they got great production out of that rookie class, Patrick, which, you know, I mean, let's be fair here. That rookie class was, according to a lot of the worldwide leaders, was a horrendous rookie class. It was disastrous. Cole Strange, even though he started all six games at left guard and has played really well, you didn't pick him in the right spot. You know, they could have got Jack Jones 70 picks later. But nobody asked that question when he intercepted the pass last week against Detroit. You know, nobody said what after he caught it and he made a great play. You know, nice play, Jack, but we should have picked you 70 picks later. Nobody says that, right? Nobody says that, right? And, of course, you know, why would you draft Bailey Zappe? What do you need him for? I mean, they got the lowest draft grade of all drafts, and they might have had the best draft. This infusion of talent has really made a difference.
Well put. My apologies to Stefanski. You may end up being a great head coach, but Bill Belichick, here's the thing about Belichick. Bailey Zappe keeps the offense humming. Four pass catchers logged 60 or more receiving yards, and they were penalized 12 times for 92 yards. It's the perfect scenario for Belichick. You blow out the Browns, and you got something to clean up here with a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Right. It's perfect. And again, this is, hey, look, we've done it your way, which was we're turning the ball over. We're trying to win the yard game. And now since they played in Green Bay in the last 2 weeks, they've done it his way, which is we're going to win the game. We're going to try to focus on what works. We're not going to try to extend ourselves. We're going to play great in the red zone. We're not going to turn the ball over. Yesterday, he's plus 2 in the turnover takeaway. They had one turnover. And, you know, they got to get better in the red zone. And as the game went on, the toughness showed up. They had 14 drives in the game. They held the ball for over 35 minutes. You know, they had 5 drives in the fourth quarter. They had 21 plays, 6 first downs, and put the game away. And so it's just, to me, it's that evolution. The game keeps going and going, and you find a way to win it, and you make adjustments along the way. This Cleveland team, to me, still can't stop the run, If Myles Garrett doesn't get pressure, I don't know what happens. Now, they didn't have Denzel Ward, but they blew coverages again yesterday. I mean, Hunter Henry's wide open. You and I could have walked in for a touchdown on that one. But this is what's been going on in Cleveland. You know, they couldn't get when they can't get the running game going in Cleveland and they can't play from in front, all of a sudden that offensive line, which we know is a good line, is only good when they're in play action pass mode.
Oh, yeah. Live bettors have known about this Cleveland team. If they're not downhill, meaning if they don't jump out to a lead, you fade them because that's the type of team they are. They have to go downhill. And by the way, the injury excuses, Pittsburgh was missing essentially their whole entire secondary against Tampa Bay and won the game. So the Browns, clean it up. Here's the thing.
Well, I mean, they went for it on fourth down, though. They went for it. Of course, they didn't
get it. Good for them.
You know.
Good for them.
They went for it on fourth down because analytics told them to go ahead and get it, not kick the field goal. Go ahead. And they tried to hurry up a quarterback sneak, and, you know, they got stuffed at the line of scrimmage. Like, at what point does somebody say, hey, Kevin, stop looking at it? And now I know the president of the team, Paul DePodesta, is analytical. And of all the people, when I showed up there in 13, there's one guy who ran the analytical department, which I don't know how he's still there, but he's still there. Like, he's still there. He survived 97 regimes. I mean, it's been remarkable, right? Like, and he's still there, giving out bad information about analytics. You know, he came to me one time and said, you know, that the key to this in drafting is draft young players. I'm like, really? Seriously? Is that, you just
that's your
research? I swear.
The best thing you can say about Paul DePodesta is Jonah Hill did a good job playing him in the movie, I guess.
Yeah, I mean,
hey,
look, if you're Cleveland, Brissett has played better. But think about this.
It's not Brissett's fault, Michael. This is not Brissett's fault.
No, it's not. They're not good enough on defense. They misevaluated their defense. They're not good enough on defense, and they can't play left-handed. And he keeps trying to go for it on fourth, turning down points. You know, of course, only matched by your boy Staley tonight.
It's getting ugly. We'll get to that game. It's getting ugly as far as the locker room with the Chargers. We'll discuss. Hey, quickly. So the Patriots level up at 3-3. All of a sudden, I'm just saying, you know who they have next Monday, a week from today?
They play
they're
the Bears.
Be hosting,
it's kind of
they're
the house
hosting
game,
Chicago.
Right?
They're hosting
right.
Chicago on Monday Night Football, New England. What do you think the number is?
I'd say 5.5.
How about 8?
What?
New England's laying 8. Yeah, I was surprised to see it through 7 as well. I thought it'd be 6.5,
wow.
7. They are laying 8 with Chicago and Justin Fields. So bettors bullish. Again, remember, bettors, the market reacts to what we just saw. And we just saw the Bears play terribly and the Patriots play awesome. And now it's 8. Yeah, it opened 8 too.
Wow.
A little surprised by that. Mm. DraftKings has 7.5. So DraftKings a little bit lower. They open.
But DraftKings is going to go to 8 because if you're telling me this is what's going on, I mean, you know, I mean, that's what happens. And look, you know, one thing about it's funny. Let me ask you this question since you've been asking the questions.
Okay.
Who's played better, Bailey Zappe or Justin Fields?
The answer is easy. It's Bailey Zappe.
I mean, like, it's like, and we keep making excuses for, I mean, today Femi was making excuses for my man, Kyler Murray. He said if the offense was better, I like, well, Fem, tell me what offense you want to run. I'll put anything you want to put in.
No, would love Femi, but Femi, watch the body language. He is disinterested.
He'll come around. We'll get him come around.
No, it's 24 of 34, 309 and two. So Bailey Zappe in his second start was 24 of 34, 309 and two touchdowns. He spread the ball around. He was very efficient. If we say one time this year that Fields is 24, 34, 309 and two touchdowns, I'll be shocked. So that's to answer your question.
Too.
We'll be shocked if we see that stat line from Fields. And
yeah, no,
look,
you're not going to see it. He can't complete. The guy averages 10 completions a game. I mean, come on. That's why this number's 8, 8.5, because people don't trust the Bears to do anything. And they know Belichick against a quarterback who's young and inexperienced, he's going to take advantage of him.
What the hell happened late with the Jacksonville Jaguars? I think you predicted it, talking about Doug Peterson. All of a sudden, Indianapolis is above 500. Does it feel like an above 500 team?
No. But I told you the Jaguars are the most talented team, but they're not going to win it. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Jags,
they're so frustrated.
They gave it away in Indy. We'll talk about it next.